We think that we're the only one in the equation when in fact God is looking at it from his bird's eye view and sees, I'm going to move you into this strategic spot and it will be by divine order. Now you thought that things were out of control, but in the mind of God and in the hand of God, he's moving the players around on the field.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Let's continue on in this sermon series through the life of Paul. This is part four from that series, How to Be Usable for God. Let's go into the message today with Pastor Rogers.
If you don't get front seat, are you still available to be used of God? If you are, then you're a candidate for this lesson. If you're not, then you'll never be used of God. Because God uses what kind of vessels? Available, empty, right? You remember all that? Broken vessels? Okay. So you must know what is required for you to be able to be usable for God. And Saul, just a little background here, Saul has been in his own hometown. You recall last week we picked up where they put him on the boat because they were afraid that the Grecian Jews were going to kill him. And so they put him on the boat in Caesarea, and he floats up, rides up to his hometown in Tarshish. And he's there for some... The scholars debate about this, but from 8 maybe to 10 years that he's in that particular location after he left Jerusalem. And you'll find that in Acts chapter 9, verse 29 specifically. And we don't maybe understand everything that was going on with him, but we do know that he was increasing and preparing for the greater ministry that God was going to give to him and use him to do. So God was not only working with Paul, but I love to say that God is the divine chess master. The chess master. If you look on the, if you play chess, you know what I'm talking about. On the board are all the players, and it is a very calculus. Not like checkers, okay? Chess. It's a mind game, and you're looking at it, and God sees it from his perspective, and he knows the moves that he's making. I know the plans. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the plans that I have for you, thoughts of peace and not of evil." To give you an expected end. So God, this is the thing that sometimes messes us up. We think that we're the only one in the equation when in fact God is looking at it from his bird's eye view and sees, I'm going to move you into this strategic spot. And at the same time I'm moving you there, I'm moving this person over here that at some point you're going to have this conversion, this connection that's going to take place, and it will be by divine order. Now, you thought that things were out of control, but in the mind of God and in the hand of God, he's moving the players around on the field. And while he's using Saul's life, he's also bringing Peter into a place where they're going to converge, and God is working on Simon Peter, who needed to have a change of heart himself. I don't know if you see yourself, when I read the Bible and I see the disciples and the characters, I see myself in there, my deficiencies and the good things, come on. And so God is always working on us and in us so that we can be more usable for his glory. After all, that's the reason why he allows us to hang around. There's a purpose for your existence. There's a purpose why you're still alive and breathing. The worst thing in the world you could do is just sit back and not find out what that is. And sometimes that's going to send you into places that you feel very uncomfortable, and God pushes you out to the edge and challenges what maybe you've been thinking about all of your life. I consider that a lot with Bible prophecy, because over the process of time, the book has been more opened and more opened and more opened. Not that God has changed his word, but society and the world has changed. What one great scholar, who many of you may even carry his Bible by his name, and I have several of his Bibles at my home, But he wrote that all of the Bible prophecy and the events that are going to take place are all going to be completely isolated over in the Middle East and will not affect the United States. Well, you know and I know that the world has gotten incredibly smaller. And so now there's not a nation on this earth that is not affected. That plays into the big picture of why I'm here. And so there are four requirements that we need to learn from Saul and his journey in order for us to be usable. And here's the first one. The first one is that we need to treat all people equal. Now, this is really important because in this story, and you'll need to read it all for yourself, the Bible says that Cornelius was a devout centurion. Okay? He was a devout centurion. And Peter, being a Jew, though he was handpicked by God, a fisherman, he had a serious issue of prejudice against. See, this is what I love about the Bible. It speaks to every issue. You want to see what's going on in our world today and how God thinks about it? Right here is the scripture that deals with the issue of prejudice. Now, we only want to put prejudice in light of maybe white and black, but I want you to understand something. It's far more reaching than that. It's social status. Come on. It's economical, it's political, it's all around the globe. You can be prejudiced and be a poor person. Come on now. So God says, the pattern of God is, and through the life of the Apostle Peter here in this story, the fact is we're to treat all people equal. And in the early church, Peter, along with many others, were extremely guilty of prejudice towards non-Jewish people. And here in chapter number 10, things change. In fact, God gets involved in the situation to the degree to straighten out the Apostle Peter, Simon Peter's rigid prejudice against anybody else coming in. So now think about this. The church starts out Jewish, but God's plan is for all the Gentiles to be grafted into the vine. How is that going to happen? If there's not a preacher sent, if there's not someone that is sent. This is a powerful thing. I was meditating on this here a few weeks ago. This is how far that God went. And this is not in your lesson, but this Holy Spirit, I believe, is inspiring this for me to tell you right now. This is how far God went in order to get all of the Gentiles grafted in, because that was not supposed to happen. How many Gentiles are there? If you're not Jew, you're Gentile. Let me see again. All right. So the far more greater mass of people in this room and those watching right now are Gentile, and I need you to know that this was supposed to be a Jewish church alone. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, not just Jew and not just Gentile, but whosoever, not just white, not just black, not just Asian, not just Hispanic, but whosoever will. So to what degree then? Now this is important for you to get a hold of, because when you start thinking about, I like this one, but I don't like that one. I don't care for them. They got this problem. They got that problem. God is saying to us, you and I were not even supposed to be in. So how far? There's only two places in the scripture where this is brought about. The Bible says that we have been grafted into the vine. Now that grafting is a difficult and challenging thing, because the vine represents Jesus Christ and the Jews first. But the Gentiles, God's ultimate plan was to graft us in. Now that means they're cutting the vine, all that. So we understand, I'm taking a whole lot here, so stay with me. The Jewish people refused to accept Jesus Christ the Messiah. So now God has set them over here, not replaced them, set them over here, and is dealing with the Gentile church. He will deal with the children of Israel once again. He'll bring them in. He's going to bring them back to himself. He's going to reveal himself to him. But the Bible says that we were grafted into the vine. Now, that word grafted there in the book of Romans chapter number 1, this is the Greek and Hebrew, for that matter, translation for being grafted into the vine. In other words, God, in the book of Romans, chapter 1, the Bible says it's not good that man gets to the place where they say, where man says, we love the creation more than the creator, okay? And then he starts talking about how that man would be with man and woman would be with woman. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about God creating something that's like that. But the grafting of Gentiles into the Jewish vine was so against what the natural order would be that God suspended the ability for it to be to come to pass in a natural way. We had to come in such an unnatural way that God suspended the natural order of things in order to allow us to come in. And the terminology is referenced when a man loving a man, a woman loving a woman in Romans chapter number 1. Are you following what I'm saying? In other words, God suspended this thing so much that he said, it goes against the order of things that I established, but I love you so much that I'm going to open up the vine and I'm going to do something not natural, but supernatural and graft you into the vine so that you too can be a part of the family of God. Did you wrap your mind around that right there? I mean, that's God did not have those intentions starting out, but he loves us so much that he opened up the wide, the gate, and says, whosoever will, let him come. That's the reason why we can't be a people who name the name of Jesus Christ and be selective. All right, now I'm back on course. You can't be selective. You can't say, well, the only people that are going is the people that belong to this church. Well, the Jehovah's Witness thought for the longest that they were the only ones that were going to heaven because they were the select 144,000. Problem, when their church numbers grew to more than 144,000, that pretty well cancels the doctrine. Are you hearing me? I'm saying to you, if we're going to be usable, we have to treat all people equal. So what do you mean by that? Well, here's the practicum for you. This means we must treat everyone fairly or equal and not be prejudiced or show favoritism. That includes those that may be rich or those that may be poor. In fact, the scripture very clearly states to us that we're not to make that kind of preferential treatment. So in light of Acts chapter number 10, let me give you the story. I don't have time to read it all to you. You read it for yourself. Cornelius, a devout centurion, here he is, the Bible says, fears the Lord. He's in command of 100 soldiers. That's a centurion. He's in command of 100 soldiers, and he's been seeking the Lord. This is a Gentile man. Okay? And so, but he's been seeking the Lord and he's been giving alms to help people in the name of the Lord. And he gets this vision. The angel of the Lord says, I've got a plan for you. Go send your faithful men down there to get Simon Peter. He's going to come back with a message for you. The man was already born again in Acts chapter number 10. He already knew the Lord. Here it is. The angel told him, go down there, get Simon, bring him back here. That's exactly what takes place. Now, while Peter is down there on the rooftop, at the nighttime, he has a vision. And the Bible said he sees this great sheet. I'm just summarizing this for you. He sees this great sheet coming down with what, for a Jewish man, looks like unclean. In other words, you got some pigs in there. He sees this great sheet with all these unclean animals, and he said, oh, no, I'm not gonna participate with that. And God straightens out his prejudicial mindset from a Jewish mindset to open the door to the Gentiles. And he said, don't you call what I call clean unclean. Yeah, but wait a minute. Wait a minute, Pastor. They're coming in here with like purple hair and earrings all around their nose. And when you really get the heart of God, you don't care what they look like, what they smell like, what they act like, how rich they are, how poor they are, what nationality they are, what society class they are, what race they are. You don't want, listen, if you really had a vision of what hell was and it opened up and you saw it, you wouldn't want your worst enemy to go there.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then. Remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.